Dear Saints, I would like to start this session by reading two verses to you from Genesis 13. I've shared this before, but I want this to really get into your being. In Genesis 13, verse 15, of course, you can share a lot on this whole chapter, but the Lord said this to Abraham. He said, "For all the land that you see, I will give it to you and to your seed forever." So what we see is what we get. The land that we see is the land that we get. Now, after that, if you come to verse 17, he says, "Rise up, walk through the land according to its length and its breadth, for I will give it to you." So on the one hand, we need to see the land. On the other hand, we have to walk through the land. And this is how we possess the land. See and walk. See and walk. All right, now let's come to message 10. The title of this is Governing Principles That We Need to See and Experience in Order to Possess Christ as the Good Land. Roman numeral 1 says, "As therefore you have received the Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in him." A says, as we have received Christ, we should walk in him. To walk in him is to live, to act, to behave, and to have our being in Christ so that we may enjoy his riches, just as the children of Israel lived in the good land, enjoying all its rich produce. B says, the good land today is Christ as the all-inclusive spirit, who dwells in our spirit to be our enjoyment. You know, Brother Ricky mentioned Galatians 3:14. It's actually absolutely spectacular that Paul saw that the blessing of Abraham is the spirit, the all-inclusive spirit. And we know that the physical aspect of the blessing God promised to Abraham was the good land. And the good land is a type of the all-inclusive Christ as the all-inclusive life-giving spirit for our experience. That's very important. For our experience. Okay, now, let's come to C. C says to walk according to the Spirit and by the Spirit is the central and crucial point in the New Testament. Saints, what a statement this is. To walk according to the Spirit and by the Spirit is the central and crucial point in the New Testament. How about we just pray a short prayer over that in our personal time with the Lord? Lord, as the law of the Spirit of life, cause me to walk according to the Spirit and by the Spirit today. He'll answer a prayer like that. Okay, now let's come to Roman numeral 2. To walk in Christ, that is to walk according to the Spirit and by the Spirit as the reality of the good land. We must see that the key of the spiritual fellowship of the regenerated tripartite believers with the consummated triune God is 1 Corinthians 6:17. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to let you know that there's 18 points under Roman numeral 2. And I got these points from, actually I've got the outline here. This is from Brother Lee. He wanted to give this to all the graduating trainees, and it was on December 16th, 1995, here in Anaheim. And listen to how he titles it, A Loving Word of Eternal Worth to the full-time trainees. A loving word of eternal worth to the full-time trainees. Under that, he has, he was joined to the Lord is one spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:17. And then he says, this is the key of the spiritual fellowship of the regenerated tripartite believers with the consummated triune God. So this point and the 18 points under it come from Brother Lee's fellowship with the graduating trainees on December 16, 1995. That was 28 years ago. And we are 28 years later, and I think we still need to get into these points. How much have they really entered into us? You know, okay, saints, let me just say this. You know, I shared this with the brothers. Brother Lee wanted me to proofread this outline that he did before he shared it. Actually, come to think of it, he wasn't going to be there. And we didn't know what's going to happen. You know, he's got this sheet, and he said to Andrew, he goes, Andrew, give this to Brother Ed, have him proofread it. And, you know, we would do things like that just to go over what Brother Lee wrote, just to make sure, you know, when I first, of course, Ron's had a lot of experience. When I first started editing, I remember Brother Lee said this in the message. He said, the Hebrew word here is ruach, R-U-A-C-H. He stopped me and said, Ed, did you check that? I said, no, Brother Lee. He said, you better check it right now. I checked it. Brother Lee, it's not ruach. It's neshama. I learned a big lesson right there, you know. Because when you're speaking, you think you might have shared this, and you shared this, especially me, you know. So I need a lot of people to check what I said, you know. And anyway, it needs to be polished. So, but saints, when I came to this, I read through the whole thing. I'm jumping to B now, and I'll share a little bit more on B. But B says, we were regenerated of God as the Spirit to be a spirit. I said, what? Inside I said, is this okay? Did Brother Lee really mean this? This is me talking to the Lord. Is this right? We were generated of God as a spirit to be a spirit. So I went to Andrew's office. I said, Andrew, I didn't find any errors, but I just wonder about this being. We were generated of God as the spirit to be a spirit. Andrew goes, let me call Brother Lee right now. As he called Brother Lee, I'm sitting there. And Andrew's going like this. Yes, 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 Brother Lee. He hangs the phone. He said, Brother Lee said, you tell Brother Ed that this is exactly correct. And you tell Brother Ed, I want him to share all these 18 points with the trainees. I said, oh, my goodness. What am I going to say on B? Anyway, I'll tell you. A little later here. Okay, now, I got myself into trouble by asking that question. All right, now, 2 says, you know, when we talk about walking according to the Spirit and the key of the spiritual fellowship of the regenerated tripartite believers with the consummated triune God, it is he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That term, one spirit, is the mingling of the Lord as the Spirit with our spirit to be a mingled spirit. So again, that's the mingling of the Lord as the Spirit with our spirit to be one mingled spirit. So 1 Corinthians 15:45, I will mention this a little later, how important this is. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, the Lord is the Spirit. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Spirit in Romans 8:16 is the Lord in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Then finally it says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So the divine spirit dwells in our human spirit, and these two spirits are mingled together to be one spirit, one mingled spirit. So saints, let me say it this way. Our spirit is a joined spirit. I put that in quotes. Our spirit is a joined spirit. Why? Because our spirit is joined to the Lord. Who is the Spirit? The Lord's Spirit. You know what the end of 2 Corinthians 3:18, you remember? It says, even as from the Lord Spirit. So, I say our spirit is a joined spirit. This is because our spirit is joined to the Lord, who is the Lord Spirit. Wow. That is awesome. That is awesome. I remember the first time someone showed me in the church, I thought, look, Ed, there's a capital S spirit here and a small S spirit. I said, how in the world did I never saw that before. That which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is Spirit. Explain that, Brother Ed. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, anyway, I never saw that before. John 4:24, God is Spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in Spirit, lowercase. Romans 8:16, the Spirit, capital S. When is this with our spirit, lowercase s? I said, how in the world did this brother see this capital S spirit and lowercase spirit? He's a mechanic. He didn't go to seminary or anything like that. Just, I was amazed at how the saints knew the Bible. Of course, I love the Bible. I got saved, regenerated. A year later, came to my first church meeting. Never, by the Lord's mercy, I never left after that first church meeting. But when the saints were sharing with me, it was always from the Word. Always from the Word. And eventually I found the secret of where they got all this stuff from. It's in the book room back there, Brother Ed. Just go to the book room and you'll see, you know, the opening up of the Word through the ministry of the age. Now, we have a book. The title of it is The Secret of God's Organic Salvation. What is the secret of God's organic salvation? The title says, it's the Spirit Himself with our spirit. That is the secret of God's organic salvation. When we talk about God's organic salvation, we are referring to Romans 5:10, where it says, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. That's judicial redemption. We used to be His enemies, but we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Then it says, much more. I love those two words. Much more. Saints, we are the much more believers.
Amen.
Much more, we will be saved in His Zoe.
Amen.
We'll be saved in His life, the divine life, the eternal life. So to be saved in His life, that is organic salvation. Organic salvation. And actually, that organic salvation is our deification. Organic salvation is our being deified, to become the same as God in life, nature, and function, but not in the Godhead. So, you know, many of us know this, but don't take this for granted. You'll see why you shouldn't take this for granted. You know, there are six major steps of God's organic salvation. What's the first one, brothers? Yeah, say it louder. Exercise your spirit.
Regeneration.
Good. What's number two? Okay, try again. I see question marks over your head. Okay. Sanctification. Okay, say that.
Sanctification.
Okay, what's three? No. Oh, brothers. I'm so concerned about some of you. Okay, look, I want to be able to come to your place at 3 a.m. and wake you up, tell me the six steps of God's organic salvation, just like that. Okay, regeneration, sanctification, renewing, then transformation. Wait. Brother, I saw you skipped over renewing, right? It's okay. I made a lot of mistakes when I was sitting in that chair. Okay, now look, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So renewing comes before transformation. So we have regeneration, sanctification, renewing, transformation, then what? Confirmation, then what? Glorification! Now isn't that deification? Surely it is. Your spirit is regenerated. Your spirit is regenerated. Regenerated. The seed of God, according to 1 John 3:9. It says the seed of God abides in us. That seed is the gene, the DNA of the processed and consummated triune God is in our spirit. When we are regenerated, we have his gene. And then from there, we are sanctified, not just positionally. We're sanctified positionally. It means we're separated unto him, but we're also sanctified dispositionally, which means we're saturated with him. Don't you want to be more saturated with him tonight?
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's why Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word. That is dispositional sanctification. And then we have renewing. Saints, I love 2 Corinthians 4:16. Our outer man is decaying. You guys don't have, you aren't in that part of the verse that much. You'll be there, don't worry. Okay. Our outer man is decaying. That's why my wife said, look, Eddie, your hair was totally black. But my outer man is decaying, right? And the buzz I serve with, their outer man is decaying. But our inner man is being renewed every other day.
Oh.
Is being renewed what?
Day by day,
brothers and sisters. You know, Billy made this statement. The Lord needs to recover the day-by-day Christian life among us. He needs to recover the day-by-day church life among us. So we are being renewed day by day. That's verse 16. Paul goes on to say, for our momentary lightness of affliction works out for us more and more surpassingly an eternal weight of glory. Momentary is versus eternal. Momentary lightness is versus weight. Affliction is versus glory. See, an eternal weight of glory. And then Paul goes on to say at the end of chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, he said, for we do not regard the things which are seen. You know, you can even say, we don't look at the things which are seen. Remember in Hebrews 11, it says about Moses, he persevered as one seeing the unseen one. Wow, that is awesome. For we do not regard the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen, because the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Saints, there's a statement in the ministry that says this: the Lord wants to recover us from things seen to things unseen. Now, wonderful. Look, aren't we looking at the Lord Jesus right now? We are, but he's the Spirit.
Amen.
If our spirit is exercised, our heart is turned to him, the veil is taken away, and we are beholding him with an unveiled face, we are beholding him face to face.
Amen.
Face to face. Okay, now, listen to what our brother says here. These six steps are accomplished by the joining of the Spirit with our spirit, Romans 8:16, as one spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:17. I'll say that again. These six steps are accomplished by the joining of the Spirit with our spirit as one spirit. If this were not so, even though the gospel of God is powerful, that's Romans 1:16, if this were not so, even though the gospel of God is powerful, it still would not have any power or accomplish anything in the believers. So again, you can see how important this is, the joining of the Spirit with our spirit as one spirit is how these six steps of organic salvation are accomplished, which are the six major steps of our deification. And again, for those who are new, when we say deification, we don't mean we become God in the Godhead. That's heresy to say that. We never become an object of worship, but we do become God in life and nature.
Amen.
Don't we have God's life?
Amen.
He who has the Son has the life, according to 1 John 5:11-12. When we believe into Christ, we have him as eternal life, right? And then 2 Peter 1:4 says we are partakers of the divine nature. The word partakers there means enjoyers. We are enjoyers of the divine nature. Not only that, we become the same as him in function. You know, the book of Acts, if you look at the book of Acts, you read the whole book of Acts. I like the title, The Acts, A-C-T-S, The Acts. You know why? This entire book shows us the acting God, the acting God. Who is the acting God? The acting God is these believers who are God in function. God can only operate and move on this earth through us. We have to cooperate with him, and then we represent him in our function, in our function. Now, again, these are quotes from the ministry. Listen to this. These six matters are the cream and crystallization of my more than 60 years of studying the Bible. Now don't you think we need to treasure these six matters and get into them? You can't exhaust them. He said they're the cream and crystallization of my more than 60 years of studying the Bible. The issue of these six matters, or you could say the issue of this organic union of the Spirit with our spirit, but the issue of these six matters, which are accomplished by the joining of the Spirit with our spirit to be one mingled spirit. The issue is the building up of the body of Christ. God's eternal economy is to obtain the body of Christ. Any work outside of this is not on the central lane of God's eternal economy. Now, I'd just like to quote one other portion to you. This is from the history and revelation of the Lord's recovery. Remember, Brother Bob introduced these two volumes to us, the kind of yellow volumes, the history and revelation of the Lord's recovery. I encourage you to read those. You know, we have a book called The History of the Church and the Local Churches. I had the privilege of editing that. You need to read that too. That's marvelous. But the history and revelation of the Lord's recovery is so much more thorough and detailed. I read that. There were so many things in there that I just didn't know. And you read that, your appreciation for brotherly and brotherly goes higher and higher and higher. You just appreciate how these brothers lived a martyr's life so that we could be here in this room today. Now, in the history and revelation of the Lord's recovery, this is on pages 113 through 116, pages 113 through 116. I'll just read you three major headings. First major heading is this: Christ becoming the Spirit, being the most significant recovery on earth in the 20th century. How about that? Christ becoming the Spirit is the most significant recovery on earth in the 20th century. So, you know, Brother Lee, he wrote all these hymns on, you know, Christ being the Spirit. Oh, Lord, thou art the Spirit. How dear and near to me. How I enjoy thy marvelous availability. You cannot experience Christ if he's not the life-giving Spirit. You have no way to experience him. He's just a historical figure to you. Okay, so this is the most significant recovery on earth in the 20th century. He wrote all these hymns. Oh, Lord, thou art the Spirit now, who gives us life and quickens us, right? Teach me how to exercise my spirit now to contact thee, that by thy spirit I may walk and live by thy reality. So many things. Oh, some of the hymns Brother Nee wrote on the Lord being the Spirit are so deep, so rich. I wish I had my hymnal there. I don't have it with me, but one of the last stanza of one of these hymns Brother Nee wrote, it says this: thus I am all the time myself, and also all the time am thee. I'm myself and I'm you. You're me and I'm you, because I'm one spirit with you. I can't wait to see Brother Lee. Don't you want to be there in that honeymoon 1,000 years, right? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Good. Okay, listen. Another title. Only by Christ becoming the Spirit can we experience Him. It's only by Him becoming the Spirit that we can experience Him. The third point. We need to emphasize Christ being the Spirit in our spirit. We need to emphasize that. Christ being the Spirit in our spirit. Saints, my father-in-law, mother-in-law, they're with the Lord now. They both love the Lord very much. Ruthie and I got married. Her dad was a pastor in Western Kansas, the brothers in Houston said, Ed, you gotta let her dad marry you to honor him. So I did that. I'm a city boy. That's the middle of nowhere to me. Wheat fields everywhere. And so, Ruthie and I got married there. And, we picked out a song, that Brother Lee wrote. What was it again? It was on the church. I'm sorry, I don't have my hymnal here, but it was on how precious the church is to the Lord. And her dad said, where did you get this, Sam? This is tremendous. I just went, well, that's always said, well, you know. And, her sister sang that hymn as a solo. Oh, it was so beautiful. So beautiful. Wait, I think the tune goes da 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 da. Yeah, what are the words? Can you read the words of the first verse to me? Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Bill. Thy dwelling place, O Lord, I love. It is the church so blessed. Then what? Then what after that? It is thy joy and heart. Where my heart finds rest. Okay. Anyway, it's when you come to the church, you feel you're home. You feel I'm home. My wife, I remember she came to a first meeting in the church in Houston, and she hadn't seen the church at all. I had already fellowship with some of the brothers about her before. Some of the brothers were worried. They said, oh, Lord Jesus, what's going to happen to Brother Ed? This sister in Christianity is going to carry him out of the church life. And so this brother that was caring for me, he said, Ed, we've got to go see one of the elders right now. So I said, okay. So I just thought if she's a believer, no problem. So we get with the leading brother, and he and I are sitting here, leading brother sitting there. So I tell him all about Ruth. He listens. He says, this might be something of the Lord. The brother told me he almost fell out of his chair when he said that. And it was something of the Lord. So we're having a love feast. And, of course, Ruby's sitting over here, way over here. I'm sitting way over here. And I'm praying, Lord Jesus, what's going to happen? She goes in the kitchen to help the sisters prepare the food. It was a love feast. And then the sister said to her, what church are you from? She didn't know what they were talking about. What church are you from? What locality are you from? I'm from Scott City, Kansas. If you're regenerated, that's your membership card. Okay, but anyway, this is important thing. They got so poisoned by all the negative literature. Don't you think? All that negative literature. And I felt so bad. Ruthie and I felt so bad. And one time they came to visit us, and I was there with Ruth's dad. Ruth's mother was there with her. I'm in the living room with him. They're in the kitchen. I said, Mr. Harbaugh, just tell me what your problems are with us. As soon as I said that, Ruth and her mother fled back into the back bedroom. They were just, oh no, what's going to happen here, you know? And I said, well, what's your problem with us? He said, well, one of my problems is with your view of the triune God. And I said, well, what's your view? He said, well, my view is that the three are distinct and separate. I said, Mr. Harbaugh, with all due respect, that was very respectful. I said, you can say the three are distinct, but they're not separate. Because in John 14, 10 and 11, the Lord says, do you not know that the Father is in me and I am in the Father? They're distinct, but they're inseparable. Then he just went to the next topic, you know. Then he said, okay, you say Christ is the Spirit. I say, yes, that's true. 2 Corinthians 3:17, I said, says the Lord is the Spirit. He said, well, that's like John 4:24, God is Spirit. That's like in a general sense. He says, you know what I mean? God is Spirit. That's his essence. The Lord is the Spirit. I said, Mr. Harbaugh, respectfully, you have to look at the context of this verse. The Lord is the Spirit, verse 17. Then you go to verse 18. Then you go to chapter 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 6 verses later, right? Paul says, we preach Christ Jesus as Lord. Amen. So Christ Jesus, the Lord, is the Spirit. Amen. He said, well, he couldn't say anything. You know, I didn't pull up my cruise missiles or anything like that. I just, you know, I said, Mr. Harbaugh, look, you know that we're not like what those books say. Look at Ruthie and I. You know, what really helps is when you have kids and your parents or your in-laws, they get all the negative stuff and they have grandkids. That helps you. That helps you a lot, you know. Anyway, I said, Mr. Harbaugh, you know, we're not anything like them. He said, well, you're different. You and Ruthie are different. You and Ruthie are different. Okay, anyway, the dust settled down, and Ruth and her mom came back in. You know, I guess they must have been like this, you know. But after that, listen, after that, her dad was a pastor. We had so much good fellowship after that. He fellowshiped more with me than he did with anyone else in the family. How about that? I never made any issues. But he realized, I am following the Bible. And one time he said to me, he said, Ed, how do you reconcile predestination with free will, with you can choose the Lord, freedom of choice, with predestination? And so, of course, hallelujah for the ministry. I just repeated the story, brother, he told. I said, well, sir, you know, D.L. Moody said that when we come into the kingdom, there'll be a sign that says, whosoever will may come. And then when you get on the other side, you look back and it says, chosen before the foundation of the world. He said, oh, that is really good. I really like that. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, I'm sorry. My point is, saints, the Lord is the Spirit. And he is with our spirit. Okay, now I'll read these points. We worship God the Spirit with our spirit. We were regenerated of God as the Spirit to be a spirit. Now, just say a little bit here. Listen, we used to be a soul. You realize that? 70 souls came out of Egypt. So man was a soul. But when we got regenerated, a great change took place. Now our soul is no longer our person. Our spirit is our person. Our real person, Ephesians 3:16 says what? You pray to the Father that he would strengthen you with power through his spirit into what? The saints. There's an inner man. An inner, isn't a man a person? The inner man. And the inner man is our spirit indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the Lord's Spirit. So that inner man, which is our mingled spirit, is our new person. That's what I shared on B. You know, how can I share this? But I remembered what Brother said about it. It's from the life messages. Very good. Now, I'll just read quickly. The Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. We become a dwelling place of God in our spirit. And the Spirit is the indweller. The Lord Jesus as the pneumatic Christ and as the life-giving Spirit is in our spirit. If the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, saints, does the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you?
Amen.
Since that's the case, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life, give Zoe. That means he will also vivify.
Amen.
Vivify means give life. He will also give life to our mortal bodies through his spirit who indwells us. Isn't that our experience? Even you come to a meeting, you might be tired. Have you ever come to a training meeting and you were tired? Of course you have. I have too. I'm up there, but don't you get energized when you're in the meeting? You do. You come in like this, you walk out like this. Because the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead gives life to your mortal body. It's a foretaste of our transfiguration. If by the Spirit we put to death the practices of the body, we will live. We set our mind on the Spirit for life and peace. They who are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its lusts by the Spirit. When we walk by the Spirit, we will by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. We walk, have our being in and according to the Spirit, the mingled Spirit, for the fulfilling of the righteousness of the law. M, by the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we live Christ and magnify him.
Amen.
N says we pray at every time in spirit.
Amen.
We receive the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God, by means of all prayer and petition and watching unto this. Watching. You know, in Matthew 26:41, remember the Lord is in the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples are with him. He tells them, watch and pray. He said, the spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak. Spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak. You know, that word weak there, you can say that it means the flesh is sleepy. The flesh is sleeping. You know, in Ephesians 5:14, it says, awake, sleeper. Now, I'm not looking at anybody who's sleeping. Don't worry. Awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, saints, sleeping is, you know, sometimes when we're, you know, when I used to go around the hall on Ball Road, I kind of check on the trainees, see how they're spending time with the Lord. I would see a brother just sound asleep. Bible's open. Sound asleep. I could almost see a dream above his head, you know. But hallelujah, if your Bible's open, you got a chance. You know, oh, praise the Lord. Really? Okay. But it's also to be, you can sleep psychologically and you could sleep spiritually. I could be speaking here and you could be, you're just thinking about, oh, I've already graduated. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. What did I just say? I don't know. Have you ever been like that when I was sharing, brothers? Of course you have. I'm in the same boat. Yeah, anyway, you're sleeping psychologically. That means your realization is absent. You see, we don't want to be like that. What does it mean to sleep spiritually? It means your perception is dormant. So your realization is absent, that's psychological sleep. Your perception is dormant, that's spiritual sleep. Saints, I wrote this down. These are quotes. The habit of living Christ is the habit of prayer. The habit of living Christ is the habit of prayer. So to pray, we have to watch. We have to stay awake physically, psychologically, and spiritually. Okay, we are sanctified in the Spirit. We are renewed by the Spirit in our spirit. We are transformed by the Lord's Spirit into the glorious image of Christ. And finally, the Spirit as the consummated triune God and the bride as the transformed tripartite man eventually becomes a spiritual couple. Hallelujah. A spiritual couple. A mingling of divinity with humanity to be the consummated New Jerusalem for his eternal enlargement and expression with the divine glory manifested in the glorified humanity. Now let's come to Roman numeral 3. This is really where we get to the spectacular part of this outline. Roman numeral 3 says, we need to see that the one in whom we need to walk is the Christ in his full ministry of 3 stages. Now, I want you to stay awake.
Amen.
Okay? Spirit, soul, and body. I want you to listen to this. Hey, listen. The central revelation of God is the progressive revelation of God in the Bible. Now, God wants to marry us, right?
Amen.
He wants to have a romance with us. Am I right? But in eternity past, look at what's after this dash. He was the bachelor God. You know, you could say maybe the bridge of time starts here, goes here. That's eternity past, eternity future. You see? I like Psalm 90 verse 2. From eternity to eternity, you are God. So listen, and again, this is a quote. Our God is the journeying triune God. Our God is the journeying triune God. So you have the bachelor God. He steps out of eternity into time with his divinity into humanity. He becomes the incarnated God. He passes through human living. He enters into crucifixion. He becomes the redeeming God.
Amen.
Right? It's right here on the outline. Then, in resurrection, he becomes the compounded God.
Amen.
That's all-inclusive life-giving spirit typified by the compound ointment in Exodus 30, 22 through 25. Then, because of the degradation of the church in the book of Revelation, he becomes the intensified God, the sevenfold intensified spirit. And as the intensified God, he becomes the indwelling God. Think about that. This is all on the bridge of time. You see the bachelor God, then you bridge of time, incarnated God, redeeming God, compounded God, intensified God, indwelling God, and the incorporated God.
Amen.
Listen to this. The incorporated God is the body Christ. The body hyphen Christ. Remember, Christ is the head of the body and the body of the head. The body of the head is the body Christ. You see, my body, you got Ed the head and Ed the body, right? This is the body of the head and the head of the body. And this is me. Am I right? If you hit my finger, I'm not going to say, oh, why are you persecuting my finger? I'm going to say, why are you persecuting me? We'll come to that in a little bit, but the incorporated God is the body Christ. And again, brotherly advance in his view of incorporation. Incorporation is persons indwelling one another. It's the triune God dwelling in us and us dwelling in the triune God. The Father's in the Son. The Son is in the Father. The Son is the Spirit. And he says, in that day, the day of resurrection, you will know that I am in my Father. And you in me, and I in you. That's incorporation. That's the incorporated God. The incorporated God is the body of Christ that ultimately consummates in the married God, the ultimately incorporated God, the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
So he starts out as the bachelor God in eternity past, in eternity future. He ends up as the married God.
Amen.
Now, the incorporated God is also the body of Christ on the bridge of time. Eventually in the millennial kingdom, you know, that's his honeymoon. As the married God, but it's still on the bridge of time. But when he steps off the bridge of time, he steps off the bridge of time, united, mingled, and incorporated with us to enter into an eternal marriage life with us. Okay, now B says the Lord's recovery is the recovery of Christ in his full ministry of three stages: incarnation, inclusion, and intensification. The Lord's recovery is God becoming the flesh becoming the life-giving spirit, and the life-giving spirit becoming the sevenfold intensified spirit to build up the church that becomes the body of Christ and that consummates the New Jerusalem. Now, this statement involves the previous statement in A. God becoming the flesh is the bachelor God becoming the incarnated God and the redeeming God. Two says the flesh becoming the life-giving spirit and the life-giving spirit becoming the sevenfold intensified spirit is the compounded God becoming the intensified God to be the indwelling God. The built-up church that becomes the body of Christ and that consummates the New Jerusalem is the incorporated God, the body Christ, that consummates the New Jerusalem, the ultimate union, mingling, and incorporation of the process and consummated triune God with the process and consummated tripartite church. How about that?
Amen.
Yes, wow. You know, when Brother E was with us, I felt like all we had time to do was say wow. I felt like I was holding a Dixie cup under Niagara Falls. The cup would go. But now we have time to get back into the ministry little by little. We're still saying, wow, right? He said, I open the mind. If you go in the mind, you'll see more. Thank the Lord. We don't need to blow up another mind. We just get in the mind that he's already opened up. Now look at Roman number 4. This is really amazing, saints. The Lord's present recovery is the recovery of the body Christ, the Christ in the church life. The body Christ is the incorporated God. Thus, to walk in him is to walk in him as the body Christ who is the incorporated God. Now, we get this from 1 Corinthians 12:12, where it says, even as the body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is the Christ. The Christ. That is the body Christ. Now, I want to call your attention to this, and you know, you can give messages on this. We know that when Saul of Tarsus was converted in his vanquishing conversion, the voice from heaven said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting them?
No.
Did it say that?
No.
What did it say? Why are you persecuting
me?
So who is that me? That me is them. Those believers are members of his body. So that is a corporate me. A marvelous footnote on this verse, Acts 9. You can look at Acts 9, 4 and 5, actually. Why are you persecuting me? Actually, that's in verse 4. This is a corporate me, the body Christ. This is why Paul is the only writer in the New Testament to speak of the body of Christ. Quite amazing. Without Paul, we don't even have the term, the body of Christ. Now let's see A. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, even as the body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is the Christ. The Christ in this verse is not the individual Christ, but the corporate Christ, Christ incorporated with all his members. This is the corporate me.
Yes.
Hallelujah for the corporate me.
Yes.
Saints, when you persecute the believers, you're persecuting the me. You're persecuting him. Be careful how you think about the brothers and sisters. Be careful how you treat the brothers and sisters. They are members of his body, right? And we need to treasure one another and esteem one another. We are members of his body. We are members of the corporate me. And again, this is the corporate me that the Apostle Paul saw in his vanquishing conversion to Christ. He saw that the Lord Jesus and his believers are one great person, the wonderful me. C says, when we need to see that the Christ, now this is amazing. This is amazing. Okay, don't look at your outline. Let's look up here. Look. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Right? Walk in him. Now that him there, we can say that him there is the individual Christ or the personal Christ. But that him, walk in him, is also the me in Acts 9:4. To walk in him, Paul said, who are you, Lord? So he said, why do you persecute me? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. That me is a corporate me. So when he says walk in him, that him equals the me. Some of you are like, okay, look, that him is the me. Isn't that true? Why are you persecuting me? Walk in him. To walk in him is not only to walk in the individual Christ, it's also to walk in that corporate me, the corporate Christ, the body Christ. So C says, we need to see that the Christ in whom we need to walk today is not only the individual Christ, but also the wonderful me, the body Christ, who is the incorporated God. To receive and to walk in Christ is to receive and to walk in the body Christ. Because Christ today is a corporate body. Christ is no longer only the individual Christ, but also the corporate Christ, the head with the body. It makes a great difference in our Christian life to walk in the corporate Christ.
Amen.
Isn't this true, saints? Didn't this make a great difference in our Christian life? We came into the church, maybe we didn't even know that much, but we began to walk in the corporate Christ. Ty, when did you touch a church eye?
August 2020.
August 2020. Was it through like a book? What was it? How did you touch a church eye?
I looked up Christian clubs online, and I found Christian students.
And what happened?
Did I put it to watch in the corporate Christ?
That's exactly right. You know, Ty is from the real UT. You know what the real UT is? The University of Tennessee. Okay, now don't get offended if you're from UT Austin, all right? Because I saw Ty out here, first time I met him. I said, Ty, he's so respectful. You know, I live in the South. They say Mr. Sir. You know, and so Ty greeted me in a very respectful way. I said, where'd you go to school? He said, Brother Ed, I went to the real UT. University of Tennessee. Okay, so don't think, where's Neil? Neil's going to share after I share. You know, Neil knows this. Don Looper was in Austin, and Don Looper was showing Brother Lee the campus at Austin. And Brother Lee teased Don because he said, Don Looper told me this. Brother Lee, this is the university. It wasn't the corporate me. This is the university. Well, you know, Neil, you didn't know this. I went to UT Austin my freshman year, 1971-72. That was before the church right there was there. That was B.C., before Christ for me. But anyway, thank the Lord for two UTs. We need more brothers and sisters from University of Tennessee, don't we, Ty? We do. Okay. To come to D, to receive and to walk in Christ is to receive and to walk in the body Christ, because Christ today is a corporate body. Christ is no longer only the individual Christ, but also the corporate Christ, the head with the body. It makes a great difference in our Christian life. I'm sorry, I read that. For us to walk in the corporate Christ. The Lord's recovery is the recovery of Christification. Luther was raised up to recover justification. We were raised up to recover Christification. A recovery purely and only of the person of Christ to gain the reality of the body Christ in the church life. F. Today the Lord is building the body Christ in the church life. In the body Christ. Christ is wrought into all his members, and all his members are wrought into him by the growth in life and transformation in life for the expression of Christ. See, this is why when we sing the hymns are a prayer. Oh, Jesus Christ, grow thou in me, and all things else proceed. My heart be daily near thee. From sin be daily freed. You pray that back to the Lord. Lord, grow in me today, and may I grow up into you. How about, Lord, transform us to thine image in emotion, mind, and will. Saturate me, Lord, with your spirit. All my being wholly filled. See, we need to pray these hymns back to the Lord. One says, in the body Christ, we enjoy Christ as everything. In the body Christ, there is the function of all the members. For he says, in the body Christ, there is the blending together of the members in the oneness of the triune God. You know, 1 Corinthians 12, 24 says, God has blended the body together. You know, verse 25 says that there would be no division in the body. God has blended the body together, that there would be no division in the body. So blending isn't blending wonderful? There's a physical aspect to blending, but there's a deep intrinsic spiritual reality to blending. And it's typified by the meal offering. The meal offering was made of fine flour mingled with oil, and frankincense was added to it and salt. But every part of that fine flour was mingled with oil. That's blending. So when we get with the saints, we get mingled with oil, fresh oil. Okay, Romans 5 says, in order to possess and walk in the all-inclusive Christ as the reality of the good land, we need to see that the presence of the Lord means everything to us, both in our life in the Lord and our work in the Lord. You know, when we were reviewing the outlines, I told the brother, I could never forget Brother Lee, he prayed this on many times from the platform. He would pray, oh Lord Jesus, your presence means everything to us in our life and in our work. There's a footnote in Psalm 51 you can look at. And of course, that's the psalm where David confessed and repented. It says something like this. If you lose the Lord's presence, you lose everything. But if you have the Lord's presence, you have everything. You have everything. Okay, in Exodus 33, 12 through 17, Moses bargained with God for his presence to go with him and with God's people. God responded by saying, Saints, I love what God said. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. You know, whenever we go to serve, we should pray this, Lord, I pray your presence would go with me. And I pray you would give me rest even as I'm serving you. I want to serve with you as my rest. Okay, there's a lot you can share on the presence of the Lord. I just have to read through the outline. But saying, get into this. There's so much here. Look at all this stuff I have done here. I don't have time to share it. Anyway. Don't worry. See, I'm not keeping you a whole long time. Isn't that good? Gives you more time to share. You guys better be ready here in this area right here. You better be ready to speak. Just giving you a little caution here. Okay, now. That's why you need to stay awake. Okay, the Lord lives in us. And He will go wherever we go. But is His presence going with us? Many times the Lord may help us, but He may not be happy with us. Have you ever had that experience? The Lord helps you. He's not happy with you. Maybe you get accepted at a graduate school. You know, I'm not going to tell you what school I applied to, but I applied one time to get a further after my undergraduate degree to further my degree. I applied one time. And the Lord said no. The Lord was saying no while I was applying. And I was saying no to the Lord. The Lord and I were wrestling. He said, no, you can't do it. I didn't have the peace to do it. I said, okay, I dropped it. You know what I did? I applied again. So maybe the Lord feels differently this time. No, He did not feel differently. I do not want you to go to that. Listen, if I would have gone to that school, I would have lost His presence. I would have lost His smile, and I wouldn't be here smiling at you right now. Saints, we need to be governed by the direct, firsthand presence of the Lord. But He says the presence, the smile of the Lord. I love this definition. Okay, Ricky shared, light is the presence of God. A wonderful definition. Here's another definition of God's presence. The smile of the Lord. Do you have His smile? That's all that matters. Do you have His smile? You know, they have, I don't know where they got that from. You know that circle? It's like a yellow face, and there's two dots and a dot for the nose and a smile like this. Well, if we have the Lord's smile, that's how we are. If we don't have the Lord's smile, just turn it upside down. You're like, the Lord's not happy. If the Lord's not happy in you, you're not happy. That's why it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, so let me go on. The presence, the smile of the Lord is the governing principle for us to enter into and possess Christ as the reality of the good land. God's presence is the way, the map, that shows His people the way they should take. You know, I still remember one time I rented a car from Hertz Rent-A-Car a long time ago. And that's when they first had GPS. GPS. You know what GPS is? God's presence satellite. That's our GPS. God's presence satellite. I remember, and Hertz had this thing on the car. It says, never get lost. Never get lost. Listen, I was driving that. I knew where to go. I was following that map. It took me all over the place. I just shut that thing up. You know, you drive in Pittsburgh, you can get lost real easy, Bill. If you use a GPS in Boston, you can be finished. Am I right, Bill? Cow paths for the streets, right? That's why I put the streets, right? Pittsburgh, listen, when you live in Pittsburgh, you don't say, well, go down here and go east. And go 3 blocks, turn west. Here's how you give directions. Go down there, and about 3 blocks down there, you'll see a convenience store. When you see the convenience store, make a right. When you turn right, you're going to see a big oak tree. And when you see that big oak tree, make a left. It's not west-east, because you could be going west and all of a sudden you're going east and south. Anyway, I'm sorry, I got off on that. Our GPS is God's presence. You never get lost if you have God's presence. According to the picture in Exodus, the presence of the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them on the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light that they might go by day and by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night departed from before the people. In typology, the cloud signifies the Spirit, and the fire for enlightening signifies the Word of God. Hence, the instant living leading from the presence of God comes through either the Spirit or the Word. The two pillars symbolize God Himself, for He is both the Spirit and the Word. Furthermore, the Word is also the Spirit. Thus, God, the Word, and the Spirit are one to lead and guide us continually, whether by day or by night. In the Christian life, there is no difference between day and night, for the light from the pillar of fire causes the night to become day. Okay, look at D. D says, Exodus also shows us that Christ as the angel of God was the one who was leading the people. When the angel of God moved, the pillar moved also, showing that the angel and the pillar were one. Christ and the leading spirit cannot be separated. Furthermore, listen, this is marvelous. Whenever those who follow the Lord face opposition, the guiding light spontaneously becomes the protecting light. In other words, here's the angel of God and the pillar leading in front of them. Then here's the Egyptians chasing them. So you know what happened? The pillar moved behind them. And that guiding light became their protecting light. Listen to this. However, to the opposers, the protecting light becomes darkness. That's from Exodus 14:20. Roman numeral 6 says, in order to possess and walk in the all-inclusive Christ as the reality of the good land, we need to live and serve in the reality of the priesthood by having much and thorough prayer in our life and service. Whether the church is living and fresh and enriched depends on this one thing, that we are being filled continuously with the Spirit. Father, fill me with the Spirit.
Amen.
How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?
Amen.
If your son asked you for a fish, would you give him a snake?
No.
If he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion?
No.
If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who think about Him? To those who what? Father, give me the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit. We need to pray that every day. Okay, in order to be filled continuously with the Spirit, we need to be those who are willing, empty, and praying. B says the wisdom, understanding, and skill for the noble work of building up the church must be God Himself as the Spirit to us. Now listen to this. Only the Spirit of God can build His own dwelling place through us. And finally, see, if all the saints and all the churches persevere in prayer. This is from the last message of the Life Study Colossians. It's on persevering in prayer. If all the saints and all the churches persevere in prayer, the recovery will be greatly enriched and uplifted. Furthermore, the saints will enjoy the Lord, His presence, and His instant and constant anointing. All day long, they will enjoy the smile of the Lord's face, and the living person of Christ will become their experience and enjoyment. Okay, I will stop here. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Can you say praise the Lord three times?
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!
Okay, let's pray with our neighbor for about 30 seconds, and then Brother Bob will tell us what to do from here.